And we ask the Lord to bless. Now, Father, we pray for your blessings as we come towards the end of the year. We pray that you would help us to recall, to remember the lessons that we have learned. We pray that they will become a part of our life. Pray for your blessings as we read your word once again. Help us to recall the lessons and apply them into our life carefully. We pray for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we turn to our notes a little bit. And we take a look at Genesis 12. And remember, right now, Abraham still has not been declared righteous yet. So he's really learning lessons about what it means to be righteous. So is he fully declared righteous yet? Frankly, not really. Right? So we need to remember some of these lessons first so that we don't misunderstand how that will work out. Okay? So along the way, there were many lessons that Abram had to learn. And these are lessons that we want to consider. Okay, later on, God will declare him righteous. But this stage is really more discovery, learning, understanding, not yet. Just like people may come to church and they will worship, it does not make them Christians. Does not make them true believers. So there are many, many things which may appear to be, but may not actually be. So this is important. Right? So we look at Abraham and then we ask ourselves, how come he's like that? Please understand this. Okay? He hasn't been declared righteous yet. He's still learning the ropes. I think that is important. So let's not be too harsh on him. There were many, many lessons along the way, and that is something that we need to look at. Okay, now, some of the problems. Let's take a look. So calling upon the name of the Lord, these things here, it's almost automatic in those days. If you have been an idol worshiper all your life, you just worship. In other words, worship becomes a normal part of life. But worship in itself doesn't tell you very much. Right? Cain also gave worship. But he was of the wicked one. So it does not tell you very much. So don't make too much a big deal out of things like that. Remember, chapter 15, later on, there it is. He will be declared righteous. Along the way, he learns lessons. Chapter 14, Melchizedek will teach him, you know, it was God Most High who gave you the victory. So he learns along the way, bit by bit. He begins to identify until, okay, now we are seeing the reality of it all. So right now, he's still in the learning stage. So don't look at his life and then judge him too harshly. So chapter 12, and then we read, there was a famine in the land. Okay? Now, he hasn't learned how to commune with God daily. Not yet. So, his kind of worship is really more in terms of, okay, here is a major point. Okay. This is a milestone. Okay. I worship. Another one, worship. Another one, worship. That sounds good so far. Right? But when you actually see a famine, where's worship? Then you begin to realize, wait a minute. straight away, automatically, he goes down south. Let's go Egypt. What happened there? Where is the consultation? Where is the seeking God? Where is the coming, turning to the Lord? It obviously is not there. But remember, he's still learning. Give him a little bit of time, please. Right? And that's what we are looking at. And I think that is important. I was just reading a book by a lady called Sheila Walsh. And Sheila Walsh is a lady who worked with the 700 Club. This is a charismatic Pat Robertson, Robertson's group. And so there they will, you know, interview people. She's a co-host, you know, those talk shows. And those talk shows will talk about, and so every time there are problems in the people, she will always, oh, I'm praying for you, I'm thinking of you, and so on and so forth. And she was nationally known. Until one day, she began to realize that she's actually having mental problems. She's going into depression badly. And so all the pastors who work with her, you know, you no need to go. This is an attack from the evil one. You just pray about it. It will pass. It did not pass. So he says, so they told her, you know, you better save your ministry. If you want to go to a mental hospital, your ministry is destroyed. And she said, you know something? I'm not trying to save my ministry. I'm just trying to save my life. Now, once she entered into that depression stage, it was a Christian hospital, Christian doctors, and they began to talk to her about her problems. Long buried problems began to surface. And she began to realize that she can never go back to the 700 Club because as far as they are concerned, they were just gone. See, in America in those days, you don't talk depression because it's like a stigma. It was a really great problem that she began to realize that the people whom she respected, they are pastors and so forth, completely didn't understand the issue. She began to recover bit by bit. Long buried inside her was an incident when 5 years old. One day, the father, who was very loving, suffered a illness, so mentally he was impaired now, and had surgery and everything else. The father had changed. And one day the father was holding a stick, wanted to beat her on the head. She realized to her horror that her father was, so he began to, at 5 years old, trying to wrestle the stick from her father's hand. And the father fell down, because he's not very, very coordinated. And what happened was that the mother called the police. Police brought her husband to the hospital. And at hospital grounds, he actually died. He tried to escape from hospital, got caught in some nets near the river, and then he drowned there. But she never saw her father again. At 5 years old, the mother never talked about her father. The siblings never talked about her father. And her father just simply disappeared. In her little child's mind, there she was. She thought, maybe I killed my father. And for 30 years, she buried that into her mind. Nobody talked about the father. And he said, so how do I overcome this? I will serve God. I will push myself. I'll serve God. I give my life to serve God. I want to go and serve him full time and everything else. Every time she went up there as a co-host talk show, She has to put on, you know, makeup. She's going to do. She even had the ear surgery so the ears don't stick out so much. Everything was plastic. So she went through, let's pray for this, let's know, we'll pray for you, people will come over, please pray for me, your prayers will be more answered than mine, and so on and so forth. Everything turned out to be false. Now, of course, they don't want her there anymore because it's, you know, one moment you're praying for healing and there you are in depression. How does that work? It doesn't work. So don't be too harsh on Abram. Right? He's still learning the ropes. So when he saw a situation, automatically, there's no food here. Let's go to where there is food. Where's prayer? Where's faith? Where is trust? Where is God? There is no consultation. So the worship that he had, one to setting up altars, doesn't tell you very much about real personal faith in God. So don't be fooled by this. How come he was able to? How come he did this? Worse, you read something even worse. So there was famine. He was close to entering Egypt. So he said to Sarah, his wife, okay, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Now, I don't know how beautiful a person can be at her age. So 75 he was, she was not a spring chicken at this point of time, I must tell you. Right? So she's, but he says that, you know, I think you're a woman, therefore it will happen. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is wife. They will kill you, kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister. Technically true. They are blood related. Like cousin is like a sister, so they are actually in that sense they're cousins in you know in more ways than one. And many of them sort of same tribe kind of a thing here, right? So they marry into the same. You're all the same tribe, you know, isn't it? Myanmar also like that, mostly India also like that, right, Steve? No, this one related except you, so yeah. But yeah, that's how it is, isn't it? All same tribe kind of thing here. So. Somewhere along the line, they were interrelated. That's why you can tell a person from Chennai very easily, right? So I take one look, the Chennai person I know straight away, because they're all intermarried into each other, right? It could be a niece somewhere, could be a cousin far away from two or three times removed, but it's all interrelated. That's how it works. So it's, you know, it's not a problem there. So technically, you can say, I'm sister. Ah, that is a problem. Okay? So it was, and the Egyptians saw the woman, anticipated, right? She was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her, commended her to Pharaoh, and was taken to become Pharaoh's house. Okay, part of the harem. So what happened here? What happened here? I mean, this is important that we understand the dangers. So where does faith kick in? It didn't. It really, really didn't. So then we are looking in Abraham's life and we are looking at obvious sin problem. Right? So as we look at the Genesis 12, as we look at life, as we look at Abraham's life, you begin to realize that there are many, many things along the way, which it's absolutely important for us. So don't be overly surprised, okay, when we see things like that. All right, this is something that we need to look at. Okay, so sometimes we expect people, just like this Sheila Wallace lady, you expect her to be nice, you're national TV, you are a co-host, you interview people, you prepare very hard, you know, you're highly successful, and so on. The 700 Club is a huge, lot of it, literally millions of viewers. It's a very, very rich club. You cannot just simply... God. Just can't. So when you have to look at it, so you, everybody wants to pretend, I want to be good, and be good, holy, I want to be righteous, I'm okay, I'm doing well, and so on and so forth. Look, sometimes we don't even have time to be honest. This is what we read in the scriptures. It tells us clearly what happened. It's not trying to justify Abraham because, nope. You know, the best thing to do is really to learn how to be open. And so she, in that month-long thing, firstly, 1 month for hospitalization. Subsequently, many, many weeks later, she stays in a hotel but comes home on a 7 to 5 pre-program. In other words, it's a daycare thing. For weeks on end, and they begin to talk to her and say, okay, well, let's talk to you. What is your problem? Well, I have an anger problem. So people tell you, you know, you're a very angry person. So they began to talk to her. And you're dealing with anger issues. You're dealing with, you know, you cannot, you're on one hand, you are warm. On the other hand, you try to hide you and so forth. They began to help her to see herself, to be open, to be as honest as she can be. And it took her months before she was able to deal with the problems that were in her life. Right? So we have to ask ourselves, how do we understand this? And Abraham is not free from difficulties and problems, no matter what. It's so good to be able to say, you know, yes, I am having problems over here. And she began to, for the first time in her life, began to talk about the problems of how she felt. She was from Scotland. So the Americans wanted, as you know, a UK person to co-host so that they get a nice flavor of the UK audience and so forth. Right? And she began to realize a lot of these things were just nice. So later on, she became the interviewee. What happened to you? And she says on national TV, I was in an asylum. Wow. That really, really threw everybody. Usually the shows were live, they would add live. For her, cannot, because just in case she goes off. But for the first time, we're seeing an honesty, and this is important for us. Sometimes as Christians, we don't know how to be honest. Right? So even if we're sick, we pretend we are strong when we are not. If you're sick, you're sick. So last week, I would be coughing like crazy. One, my greatest fear, I might pass it to you. And when you're older, and you could jolly well end up with being sick too. So Daniel, he said, Pastor, I think you better go for a second round of antibiotics. So I'm still on antibiotics today. And I will be having it when I go to Perth next week. Am I still going? Yes. Well, I just heard from Pastor Chris to say that Henry Yap is also down with bacterial infection, but he is in hospital. So this bacterial infection can be quite serious. And they were actually going to drain the body of fluid. Every time they drain him, they would take away at least 3 liters distension. So legs swollen, stomach swollen, everywhere until wow. So I say, well, listen, let's take this very seriously. So sometimes you look at these things here. So he has not been able to serve communion for the last, since whole year almost. Because he's no longer able to hold things steadily. And he, just in case I drop the communion cups and all that, I better not. You see, so sometimes we all pretend to be good and holy when we don't worry. If there are mistakes made, say there are mistakes. If there are sins committed, we might as well deal with them. Pretend to be wonderful when we are not. And I think we learn a lot along the way. So reading the life of this lady, this called Julia Walsh, and it was really, really painful to see how it was with her life. Until she began to say, you know, I just needed to be open. I needed to say I am weak. I needed to say there are things that I need to say. You see, sometimes when we look at these things, we almost have a cover-up. You know, I am a church leader, therefore I must be okay. You know, I must be able, come on, let's face it. Sometimes we don't feel good. Sometimes we don't even feel like coming to church. But we cannot say this thing. Otherwise, people will wonder, why? How can you stay on? I don't feel like serving. And then we almost have to bluff ourselves the way through. Please don't do that. If it's an honest thing, you know. So he misread the whole situation. Right? So he began to plot and to plan. Look, David was just like that too. No mistaking it. And you find that a lot of the saints of God are also just like that. So she began to deal with all the problems in her life, bit by bit. They began to help her, to tell her, no, it is all right to confess these things here. We are human. Can we talk about it? Is it if you don't feel well? Don't just pretend that you are wonderful when you don't feel good. He says, all my life I have just been pretending I am okay, but I am not. Then she met with a lady called Barbara Johnson. Barbara Johnson died in 2008. And she's a humorist. And she writes with great humor. But her life was just as broken as hers. And then she began to realize that she was asked once to say, would you like to do a lunch? He said, I'm not a public speaker. He said, no need to speak, but you just talk to people. And so this was a huge event. And she was describing the women who attended this event. These were very, very wealthy women and so on and so forth. And they were really, really, I mean, she just felt totally out of their class. He said, you show me to speak. I don't know how to speak to women like that. These are all powerful people. He said, just tell your story. The moment she said, I was in an asylum, suddenly everybody listened. Wow. You see, if only we had to make sure she was describing, he says, in America today, one of the biggest problems is this problem of depression. Everybody tries to hush it up. So I'm not depressed. It's a real problem. And it is a problem that we need to deal with. Okay? And it is a dementia problem too. I mean, this is very, very important. So dementia doesn't mean you're going crazy, you know. I mean, this is something that Esther Koo was just wrote to me. And said, Pastor, please pray for my father. He says, my father, they examine the brain now, and they begin to realize that they can't join the dots together. That happened to Dr. Sung's mother. So Dr. Sung, Mr. Sung will come to tell me, he says, Pastor, can you help me get a lawyer? I said, okay, why lawyer? He said, yeah, I want to sue my son. So why do you want to sue your son? Because they're trying to steal my house. So I told Dr. Sung, he says, Pastor, just humor her. Because he says, my brother was the one who gave her the house. So if my brother gave her the house, why would he want to take it back? Because actually it was a gift. He has a brother in America, bought his house and gave it to her. So he began to realize that she doesn't always make sense. Can't join the dots together. So just listen to her. Now this now is Mr. Koo. He will make wrong decisions now and he will fall down. So this week, last week that is, he fell down twice and then cut himself, risk swollen and so on and so forth. See, these things happen to us. You know, as you grow older, it may happen to you. And it is perfectly all right to say, you know, I have a problem. And that's how it is. The more you try to blame, you try to find ways, means out, the worse the problems will become. I think this is something that as we grow older, we need to deal with these things here. Do I have a problem over here? And who knows? Right? There will come a time when you cannot put things together, unfortunately. And we have to ask ourselves, how do we cope? Right? So the wife goes along. She is just as guilty. Please do not think that Sarai, who just went along, she's less culpable. No, she's an accessory. Same. Well, how come? You see, I was reading a book about her. In ancient Egypt, these are called special people who are, they always think, people who are that old and who are beautiful. They were called priestess. Now, there's no real reason to believe this, okay? It's just to help you to know the stories around her. And so she would often, most of these people would be asked to conduct special ceremonies for others. So they call her a, because we don't know whether she's a priestess or not. She may well be in the previous, when she was younger. We don't know. So there are books that will describe her as a priestess who happened to be recognized as such. Not because she's beautiful alone, but because, you know what, we want to. So if the Pharaoh wants to have her, it would be to help her, help him to help the young women, wives, to have children. Now this happens. Now in India, this is actually true. There are some women who are actually men. But they are in L1, they dress in saris. Right? And they behave just like women, except the Adam's apple is there. Right? You know what they are asked to do, especially? To do house blessing. Because the idea is that these are specially touched by God. That's why they are what they are. That this is their local belief. So they are very good at singing songs, you know, shlokas and things like that. They're very good at Hinduistic stuff. And they live in a community all their own. All the women folk who are like that, they actually live in a community. And every time somebody wants to bless a business, bless a whatever, guess what? If they cannot call the priest, they will call these people. And that's how it is. So the way I ask her, why Pharaoh so crazy? Want to pick an old lady to add to his harem? What's wrong with him? What kind of pervert is he? You see, so it's not that he's lacking a wife or two. He's got so many. But you see, we don't know why. But he may well be a pervert for all we know. But here is a situation that Abram put himself into grave danger. What makes you think that he will spare him for her sake? He might as well kill him too. What makes you think that your reasoning is correct? Right? Maybe he will spare you and then save me. So please do it for my sake. How do you know you won't get killed anyway? I mean, if a Pharaoh is crazy enough to go and get a very much older lady to be, she could be in her 60s already, you know. Right? How many women do you know in the 60s would be of childbearing age? They all got married in order to have children. That's it. The reasoning is that if you are beautiful, the child will also be beautiful. They don't know about genetics, you see. They skip one generation, could be very ugly. You don't know. But you just figure that it might well be. So since they didn't know genetics, so they all figure out wrongly. See, but the point of it all is that we're making... See, I really like Genesis because it tells us, let's be open and be honest. Are there days when you feel weak? Are there days when you don't feel that you're walking right with God? Please don't try to pretend when you are really not up to it. I think that is important. Right? So sometimes we don't feel up to it and we all pretend everybody has got to be good and wonderful. But it's not true. Let's face it. And Abram is described as a person, he's not beneath the idea of lying to save his own skin. This is not a great picture of Abraham, right? But, you know, as you look at David's life, actually, they're not much different. Right? So as you see JM, you know, there's Joab and Amasa. Actually, they're all related. And they were killing each other. So Saul's family, David's family, how come they became enemies? If you study, their great ancestors were brothers. They may be different tribes, but their great ancestors were all brothers. Same family, Jacob's family. And then suddenly they become enemies, as if they were Amalekites, Philistines, and all. What happened? Things can go wrong, and go wrong badly. So the Bible's effort to help us to understand this thing is to help us to look at life and say, you know, let's be open, let's be very, very honest about life. Things can go badly wrong. Okay, so then, of course, he treated Abraham well for her sake. That was all sort of figured out, you know, that's going to work out. So then he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male, female servants, male, female donkeys, and camels. Right? So this was the event that took place. And then we read, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. Now, how did he know? Most of those pharaohs have got magicians, they have got people. They're going to figure out, you know what? There's something wrong somewhere, you know? We're having, for no reason, plague. Who knows? All sheep suddenly all died. They crop failure. What? What happened? Then the camels also died. The wall collapsed. So, I mean, this was plague. We don't know what exactly happened, but there it is. Everywhere else got famine, Egypt doesn't have. But suddenly, plagues come. So Pharaoh called Abraham. What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. So at this point of time, not taking her as a wife. So she, you know, just like this crazy Pharaoh's, who will line up. He's got, you know, just in case he's very bored, he'll look at the wives later on. But there it is. I mean, it was a really bad situation. So take your wife, take her and go your way. Get out of my country. So he was kicked out of Egypt as he should have. So Pharaoh commanded his men and he sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Now that is a really tough situation, obviously. Okay, so this is important. So we will need to learn. So Abram is now going to learn some lessons along the way. Okay, now we read in the first place. We read about the Lord. All right. So this is where he learns about the Lord. God will protect him, not the wife. Actually, you don't think very much about a man who needs a wife to protect him like that. You protect me, okay? You what? Right? So this is a real big problem. And this is something, and yeah. Okay? So, but there's an honesty here. So there is the Lord's protection. That's the first thing. Right? So this is important for us. So can God make a distinction here? And this is very, very important for us to understand and appreciate that. Okay, so this is something that we... Then, of course, the Lord's provision. Right? So for some reason, what happened to Abraham with he has? Of course, some of the gifts came from Pharaoh's, from Pharaoh himself. But the strange thing is that, just like Jacob, later on he would discover, his things blessed, the others plagued. Wow, the distinction become very, this one is blessing, this one is plague, non-blessing. Whoops. There's something wrong seriously. But Abraham, he was learning something along the way. And mercifully, God will pardon, although we don't actually stay at that way. So some of the stories here, you don't actually have statements like God will provide, protect, and pardon, and things like that. Okay, you don't get about these things here till actually you read about it later on, how the Lord will protect. Now let's look at Psalm 78 a little bit, just to show you how this work this. Okay, so this is a, Psalm 78 is a historical psalm which shows to us things which we ought to understand and appreciate. Okay, so we read Psalm 78, and so the wonderful works that God has done. Okay, so this is something that you look at. Look at the first, give ear, we will not hide from their children. The praises of the Lord, His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. So this is something that we look at. So this is the Lord's hand in all these things here. Okay? Now we turn to Psalm 104. Well, let's take a look at these things here. And we will see 105, 104. Okay? This is absolutely important for us to take a look at very carefully and we'll see the Lord's hand. Okay? 105. Here we go. Okay? Seek the Lord's face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works. Seed of Abraham, remember. He is the Lord our God. He remembers His covenant forever. The covenant which He made with Abraham, and so on and so forth. And I will, they were few in number, indeed very few. Okay? Now, look verse 14. He permitted no one to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Now that is how we see this. Right? So that's how we see the Lord's protection. So 78 talk about the wondrous things that God has done. 105 talks specifically about things like that. I think that is something that we want to look at. Of course, it goes all the way back, famine in the land, then Saint Joseph, then later on Moses. But unmistakably, God has got His eye on His people, on His servants. I think this is it. So these were lessons that Abraham had to learn. And I think this is absolutely wonderful about this. Okay, but he had to learn something else too. Okay, this is absolutely, and let's go back to now, next week I won't be seeing you, so there's no AM meeting this week, next week, so I thought I'll just move on a little bit to chapter 13. So this is the lesson that I would have taught if I were here. So I'll be in Perth next week, so I will give you a little bit of this thing here. Okay, so that Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife, all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. So Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver and in gold. Somewhere along the line, he traded, he did well. See, that's the Lord's provision. That's the Lord's protection. See, this is Psalm 105. So that is very, very obvious. Okay, 105. So he went away, went as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. So this is chapter 13 over here, and then we begin to see this. in 12:8. All right? So Genesis 12, 7 and 8, and that it was. You see, so this is the Lord's graciousness. He had to learn a lot. So chapter 13 tells us, the Lord also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to support them. Their possessions were so great. Now that is where the challenge is. So did the Lord provide? Marvelously so. Right? So please do not imagine that Pharaoh gave him everything. No, he did not. Gave him some gifts because of his, how much is the Abraham's wife worth? How many sheep? How many donkeys? How many camels? Typical dowry. Okay? So how much are they? Certainly not until the whole land cannot take them out. Then Pharaoh will be bankrupt. No, but obviously she was given a dowry of some kind. So therefore it is. But the strange thing is that what they had began to multiply. Now that is the challenge of it all. So he went and they became... But where did he go? To the place where altar he made there at first. What does it tell us? Let's go back to basics. Right? So the best thing to do, and this is what Sheila Walsh was there, the best thing to do, let's go back to basics. So this was the altar. Then he went over to Egypt. Why? So we came back all the way back to where we start. And that is why we learn how to set up altars. It is the best and the wisest thing to do. Let's go back to its origin. That is so absolutely important. So if only we can go back to where we were originally. And that is the real cry out to everybody. You see, so along the way in life, you will see this. Doesn't matter if God has called you. Doesn't matter if God has, you worship God. So far, God may give you a wonderful promise. It does not make you superhuman. Mistakes will be made, yes. Mistake, reading it wrongly. Add to that mistake, sin. This is my sister. Technically correct, but actually not the focus. Okay. Right? So this is what happened. And this, above everything else, the Lord's mercy, the Lord's grace, multitude of mercy. This is called multitude of mercy. The Lord's grace. Okay. Not to endorse Abraham. Okay, next time you bluff somebody, you might be even richer. That is not the point. That is the point of it all is he learned. So Pharaoh ended up rebuking him, kicked him out of Egypt. Get out of my country. Get out from here. So, that's not a very nice, put on that, persona non grata, cannot come back, visa denied. So, cannot come back anymore because they will say, listen, remember his face, okay? So, quick sketch artist. All right, now this one here. So, they cannot come back. That's how it works. So, Abraham had to go back a little bit shamefaced, a little bit, humbled, a little bit repentant, and then go back to where? Back to square one. That's where we start. And I think it takes a lot to be that humble, but as important, let's learn how to be that humble before the Lord. I hope this is something that we want to understand and appreciate. So this would be vital for us. So along the way, so we have the Lord's calling, which is valid, which is good. The Lord is trying to teach him. He is learning slowly. Don't be surprised if we learn slowly. He learns slowly, we learn slower. Right? So God, in his grace, in his mercy, protected him, provided for him, taught him further, but all this time, silence. Right? So then, family problem. Uncle and nephew. So this is not new. So David, his nephews were Joab and Abner and all the other generals. They were actually the nephews of David from his sister's children. Zeruiah and Abigail were the two sisters of David. These were the children of David's cousins, sisters, sorry. So they were literally his nephews. And they were fighting each other and killing each other and everything else. So please do not be disturbed. See, so with Genesis, we're like, sounds familiar. Right? So uncle and nephew dispute over what? Money is the worst thing that you can, but it happens. Will not get along together. Can't get along together. Why? Sure, money is going to be a real nightmare. Don't have money, go to Egypt. Now come back to the country. Now, we're going to, which country you want to go to? No more. He's learned his lesson. You see that he's learned his lesson. How do you know he's learned? He said, okay, Lord, let me just say that, okay? You take your pick. You choose. Right? You want to go north, I go south. You go east, I go west. Whichever is your choice, he had learned. That's how you know he has learned. I am no longer going to, we are not going to resort to all kinds of shenanigans, all kinds of plots and deceptions. And they, please don't. But let's deal with this. Okay, here we go. And so this was something, that's how you know. All the land which you, whatever. So you choose, you take the left, I go right. You go to right, I go left. Wow, that is how gracious he had learned how to be. So Lord went down there and lifted his eyes, well watered everywhere. The Lord is before, the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. So he chose, okay, I go to the plain of Jordan. How about that? Fine, you go, I go the other side. You see, but the important thing is for us to realize that Abram at this point was no longer the old Abraham. So he learned slowly. Okay, let's not get down into plotting. Okay, what do we do with this this nephew? Okay, so this is the real problem. So he was the one who took nephew out because Lot's father had died. So I'm the uncle. All right, I feel responsible for you. You're my brother's son. I will give you, come with me. God has blessed. Okay, now truly God has blessed. Look, the land is so much, occupied all over the place. And the family, this is a family-owned thing. Uncle and nephew. Right? So Abraham and Lot company. Yeah, so yeah, unlimited. All over the place. Okay, now what do we do? And it is a big thing to say to the nephew, just take whatever you want. Which one belongs to you, just take. Okay, let's not quarrel. So he has become big-hearted now. So now he has become lots more mature. He has got me. So Abraham changed along the way. See, most of these things you begin to realize, God had been teaching him along the way. So let me go back to, see, even if you go back to worship the Lord, it doesn't mean the problems are over. Family problems will always be there. So don't be surprised if there are difficulties along the way. Don't be surprised if you all don't always see eye to eye on these things here. Okay? And Lot did not speak to the uncle again, actually, as far as we know. Right? Even though later on the uncle will rescue him. They didn't even bother to say thank you. So he lost everything. Right? But if you take a look at this story, you begin to realize how Abram had grown bit by bit. And God allows us to learn bit by bit. Right? So calling, worship, we learn. About God, we learn. Make a mistake, go to the other side, right? But along the way, he learned. Now, how much has he learned? Come back. Okay, I mean, imagine the nephew wants to be this nasty. You not grateful, huh? I took you out of nowhere. I gave you all this wealth. God has blessed you. God has blessed us. Why are you so ungrateful? What's wrong with you? Now, if he wanted to be like that, it would be a real... I mean, Abraham would be... Because in the early days, whoever is a tribal chief, you can just kick a person out and that's it. But not that's not how it works. So sometimes when we look at David quarreling with Joab and things like that, remember, this uncle and nephew quarreling. They're not just a matter of king and general. It's uncle and nephew. See, because these were his sister's children. So he wanted to look after them. So he promoted them. So all of those guys became generals. But the generals were fighting each other. What is wrong with you guys? So the problems don't leave us because we are holy family, full of holes. But you know, but this is not that kind. But the problem here is that we're living, dealing with human nature. We're dealing with sin problems, and they will never go away. Now let's face it, that is a reality. Right? So these are challenges that we must think about. And the important thing is for us, let's learn along the way. Okay? Let's learn humbly. Let's not pretend to be what we are not. Let's not try to pretend to be holier than we really are. Let's pretend to be, absolutely on top of everything when you just feel that you are down. I mean, that's important. So that's all of us. We know. So I say to student pastors, don't be what you are not. And if you're not ready, you're not ready. If you are good, you're ready, you will be. If not, keep learning. Don't try to be what you are not, because you're just going to end up with all kinds of problems. So don't. And this is vital for us to learn as well along the way. So did Abraham have problems in his life? Yes. Right? And if God would still call him father of the... of many nations. And gave him a covenant. Remember, God's covenant given to him is not because he's wonderful, because he's next to perfect. He's not. Far from it. And yet, there you see the Lord's grace, you see the Lord's mercy, you see the Lord's magnanimity, you begin to see the Lord's kindness, the loving kindness of God all the time. So when we are successful, remember, it is the Lord. Not because we are so wonderful. Never was, never is, never will be. How wonderful it is that God will give to us what he has promised. I will give you this land. Not Egypt, Abraham, just in case you don't know where your geography. See, this is called Canaan. That is called Egypt. Okay, don't mistake the one. One is spelled C, one is spelled E. So please do not mistake the two. So he went over there. Can I just stay here for a while? Nope, come back. So he came back to learn all over again. How big is the land? Big enough. Don't worry. Well, it looks like they're very small. All the rams are fighting. The herdsmen are fighting each other. The land is bigger than you think. See, they confine themselves. If only they will have that faith to see that land is far, far bigger. You cannot have a size of goats and sheep that will cover all of Israel from top to bottom, north to south. Not going to happen. But this small little confined space, yet every time people live in two confined, they sure quarrel. Show problems. That's always a difference. That's as human as we can get. But in the midst of all these things here, there is the mercy, the grace, the provision, the protection, the presence of God at all times. I think that really helps us to look at Abraham's life a bit more meaningfully. So I need to learn lessons along the way. I need to improve my contact with God. I need to look at my faith a little bit better. I need to look at all these things as I should. And I think that is going to help us a great, great deal more. Okay? Think about these things here. And then, let's learn all the lessons we should. At the end of life, so on the last Saturday of this month, we are going to have a combined with AIM, YMG, YAG. So if along the way you feel like you want to share something with everybody, please talk to me. Be very happy that, I learned a very important lesson and that's worth sharing. Let me know. Be glad to have you come and share something. Otherwise, we'll just conclude this year and thank God for the many lessons which we have learned. Okay? Well, let's give thanks together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to know your word a little bit better than we do. To know ourselves a little bit more too. And our faith in your hand, your blessing, your provision, your goodness. We pray for your blessings upon us as we ponder the lessons we have learned. Lord, grant us your mercy, a multitude of mercy in our life. We give thanks that we can learn these lessons on a personal level because we see our own weaknesses, our mistakes, our sins. Well, Father, we ask you to forgive and cleanse us and help us to learn the lessons we should, that we might better reflect that we are your children. We ask you to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here, and the Lord bless us.